Let us pray. Loving God, we know you are with us always. Be with the Benawise family as they grieve and prepare for tomorrow. Today, open our hearts and minds to your word so that we may come to know you more fully and we might learn to follow you more faithfully. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Our first portion of our scripture reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And this can be found on page 120 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. The second portion will be read from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 25, and can be found on page 233 in the New Testament. Reading from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. Hear what the Spirit says to the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And continuing on with 1 Peter chapter 2 and beginning at verse 19. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that, free from sins, we might live for the righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. And this is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. My name is Catherine Masterton, and I'm the program coordinator for Justice Ministries, one of the national ministries supported through the generosity of Presbyterians Sharing. Justice Ministries' mandate is to work with congregations to discern and express the justice imperatives of the Bible. What does this mean? It means different things in different situations. It can mean asking questions about how we walk with and support people living on low incomes, for whom even the most basic cost of living is a struggle. It can mean asking questions about the environment and how the decisions we make about natural resources impact not just us, but people around the world and the generations that will come after us. It's not a one-shoe-fits-all-feet kind of question or ministry, but it is always about how we live as people of God and how we treat our neighbors. Sometimes this means not just seeing people who are struggling and asking the question, what can I do to help? It might also involve asking the more complicated question, why is this person struggling? What circumstances exist that this person has to fight so hard to survive? Are there things that we, as a society, can do? It can mean using our faith as a foundation for advocating for changes in our communities, in our provinces, and in our country. Today, I'm here to talk about healing and reconciliation between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people. But first, I'd like to think about where we are in the church year. We are in the days and the weeks following Easter. Jesus is risen, and we glorify God with words of praise and with full and grateful hearts. We sing triumphant hymns, and we praise God for overcoming death. In the Bible, in the Sundays following Easter, we hear stories about how Jesus calls back his despondent and scattered disciples. These are people who have suffered a trauma. It must be a dark moment indeed. They fear for their very lives, but they are called back. All is not lost. Jesus is alive and his ministry continues. The disciples then go out to create new communities of followers of Jesus. In the months and in the years that follow, the early church is established. What is interesting about this time in the church is not what is certain about the new church and the life of its followers, but how many questions it raises about what it means to be people of faith. In the New Testament, we have four Gospels that talk about the life, ministry, and death and resurrection of Jesus. But then the majority of the New Testament is a series of letters, many that have been attributed to the Apostle Paul, but from others as well, from people in the new communities of faith to other communities of faith. And much of its contents are about what it means to be a community of followers of Jesus. They ask and answer dozens, if not hundreds, of questions about who are the followers of Jesus. And what does this mean for our relationships with each other and with people outside of their churches? And what qualities and actions and worldviews followers of Jesus should and should not have? It's a time that is both marked by new beginnings and hope, but also by questioning and uncertainty. So it's no surprise that our lectionary readings today are about faith in God and surviving challenging times without losing hope and while resisting discouragement and despair. At the heart of the message of hope in many of the letters in the New Testament is a story about a new relationship with God and with each other through Jesus. Now I'm going to step aside for just a moment from the Bible readings. For the past several months, Justice Ministries has been working to organize a gathering for young Presbyterians at Camp Kanawin. This gathering is focused on equipping young people to vision and be a part of building a new relationship between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people. 32 people attended, and we heard from Shirley DeFore, who I understand spoke here several weeks ago. Many of you may also have heard her story. She's a trauma counselor and a residential school survivor. Shirley spoke not just about the need for healing in broken relationships, but also about the things that are happening right now to make a new relationship strong and that the role young people have in helping to shape it. Now, we had also invited Grand Chief Wilton Littlechild to this gathering. He was one of the commissioners in the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Unfortunately, he was in New York for UN meetings, and because of the poor weather that's out there, his flight was grounded and he wasn't able to be with us. But he sent this message to the participants at that gathering, and I'd just like to share it with you. He says, "Last evening, as we closed 2 weeks of meetings at the United Nations with the theme of celebration for the 10th anniversary of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, I thought of you. I knew that you were focusing on healing and reconciliation. Today, I was going to share with you, as young leaders of today, thoughts on two principles of reconciliation, the first and 10th principles, as they speak to us. You as you as young leaders and I as a chief are called to work on together. The declaration as a framework for our is our roadmap, and our treaty relationships are the solutions that can guide us in our path going forward in a good way. So when I was asked to give the closing prayer at the UN, my prayer was for the next decade to be about peace and reconciliation. It's a bold vision, but I know in my heart that with you as young leaders, grounded in spirituality, we have a very good chance. Hi, hi in Cree, and blessings to all of you. That was the message for our Presbyterians from Chief Wilton Littlechild. The message of Easter is punctuated with the hope of Sunday morning, but it also carries with it the journey through Lent, the pain and despair of Good Friday, and the uncertainty of Holy Saturday. Easter is about a new relationship with God through Jesus. But the whole of the Easter story includes all parts of Jesus' experiences and that of his friends and his followers. It includes times of uncertainty, being uncomfortable, and even painful experiences. And the journey of the early church is, too, marked by times of struggle and uncertainty. Paul and the authors of the New Testament letters provide encouragement when it is needed, advice, correction when it is needed, and all of this is underscored by an abiding fellowship in God through Jesus. These letters tell early Christians, we are in this together. We may not have all of the answers, but we will seek them. And together, through Jesus, who reconciled our brokenness with God. The journey to reconciliation is also punctuated by painful memories, traumatic events with rippling repercussions, but it is also comes with the promise of new hope and new life for the relationship between Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples. And this was the message that we heard at Camp Kanawin yesterday, that even in the middle of uncertainty and hurt, there is healing and hope. There are open hearts and minds that seek to travel the journey to reconciliation together. The Easter message is that we are beloved by God, and because of God's love, we are never alone. We are never without fellowship, even when we feel we are alone, and we have the promise of healing when there is brokenness. We have the renewing love of God, who inspires us to pray and live faithfully to build God's kingdom. In 1994, our church confessed its role in running residential schools, and this was the beginning of a healing journey. And it has involved complicated experiences and feelings. When I was in Edmonton just a few years ago at the national event of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, I heard a survivor stand and talk about abuse she suffered in residential school. Painfully, one of these schools was run by the Presbyterian Church. You could hear a pin drop in a room with more than 100 people. And in the 10 minutes that she spoke, her story had me and everyone else in the room not just crying, but also laughing. Her story was not just about pain, but of resilience and of courage. She invited us into a place to build a new relationship. She embodied grace with that invitation. And it is not just about leaving the past behind, but rather holding these memories while still visioning the future with hope. So, where, you might well ask, is hope in this journey? For me, hope was manifest on a clear Sunday morning in May, 2 years ago. We were in Ottawa for the closing event of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. We worshiped at St. Andrew's in the morning, and then St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Ottawa, and then we crossed the river into Gatineau, where several hundred people were gathered to begin a walk for reconciliation. And if you aren't familiar with the geography of Ottawa, it sits on one side of the Ottawa River, which it shares with Gatineau in Quebec, which is on the other side of the river. And it's not a long walk to get from the center of Gatineau to downtown Ottawa and Parliament Hill, which is exactly where what we did. Indigenous drummers sang, and we started the walk. By the time we left the school parking lot, which was where the gathering place for walkers was, we were more than 1,000 people. And we walked to and crossed over the bridge. And we were greeted by more walkers. We became 5,000 strong. And as we walked off the bridge and onto the road and rounded onto Wellington, we passed St. Andrew's Church. A bell ringer for St. Andrew's had been on the lookout for the walkers and began to ring the church bells as the first walkers went by. What a sound! Indigenous drums and church bells ringing out together for reconciliation. The bells continued to ring until the very last walker had passed, and they rang for more than 40 minutes. By the time we walked by Parliament Hill, we were 10,000 people strong. Indigenous and non-Indigenous people, representatives from Indigenous nations and organizations, different churches, different faith groups, civil society organizations, politicians, civil servants, ministers, all walking together with a message of reconciliation. There was hope. Several months ago, Justice Ministries received an email from a minister in Edmonton suggesting that we have a youth gathering on reconciliation here in Alberta. 5 amazing Presbyterian youth, including St. Andrew's own Lauren Cole, walked together for several months, visioning, planning, and working to organize an amazing event at Camp Kanawin. The event received support from the Presbytery of Calgary-MacLeod, Central Alberta, and the Synod of Alberta Northwest. This was support for the intent of the event and the hope of reconciliation and the belief that young people have an important role to play in shaping this future. And people came. They came because they care and because they want to build a new relationship with Indigenous people. So hope resides right here, in the openness of our hearts and minds to walk a long and difficult journey with the expectation that we will be challenged and that it will involve a lot of surprises and that there will be many uncertain moments in this journey, but that it will continue and that it will continue in the hope and new life of a new relationship. Hope is right here today. Thanks be to God.